New White House guidelines say to avoid gatherings of 10 or more people.
It isn't an overreaction.
And in an effort to keep people apart, counties in the San Francisco Bay Area order residents to shelter in place.
I'm Steve Inskeep with Rachel Martin, and this is Up First from NPR News. Hours before a primary election, Ohio ordered polls not to open today.
The only thing in the world that I think that takes precedent over conducting this free and fair election is the health and safety of Ohioans.
How do Americans balance democracy against a pandemic?
And officials in Spain closed their land borders to most travelers. Residents there have been quarantined at home since Saturday. How has the healthcare system been coping? Stay with us. We've got the news you need to start your day.
Support for NPR and the following message come from the Capital One Walmart Rewards Card. Earn 5% back at Walmart online, 2% at Walmart stores, restaurants, and travel, and 1% everywhere else. What's in your wallet? Terms and exclusions apply.
The White House has recommended that all of us avoid groups of 10 or more people, which is why you are hearing me broadcast from my basement.
That is some of the guidance from President Trump for at least the next 15 days.
We have an invisible enemy. We have a problem that a month ago nobody ever thought about.
Now, the latter part of that statement is false, that nobody thought about this a month ago. Public health experts warned of and planned for a pandemic for years, and more than a month ago warned of this specific pandemic. The president was downplaying the threat at that time. Amid statements like that, a new NPR PBS NewsHour Marist poll shows a lack of trust in the president's statements. Only 37% of those responding say they have a good amount or a great deal of trust in what he says. 60% do not. That noted, states and local governments are taking the latest White House recommendations and adding them to their own measures.
Joining us now, NPR's global health and development correspondent Jason Beaubien to walk through those measures. Hey, Jason.
Hey, good morning.
All right, so we shouldn't gather in groups of 10 or more people. This came from the White House. What else did the president recommend?
You know, in many ways, it is very common sense stuff, but it's also fairly dramatic, the ask that's being made on a national level. And unless you're in a critical infrastructure industry such as healthcare or the pharmaceutical industry or the food industry, they're saying stay home, have your kids stay home, work from home, avoid any discretionary travel, and especially if you're sick, stay home and don't go to nursing homes. And they're also giving some guidance if someone in your household does test positive for this. Everyone in the household should stay home. Don't rush to a hospital. Call your doctor and then they'll take it from there. And again, they're saying, take care of yourself. Wash your hands.
You know what struck me? The president's tone was different when he was laying out these recommendations. We didn't see the bellicosity. He was deferring to the health officials. While he had been trying to downplay this for several weeks.
Yeah, there definitely is a shift here. And you're seeing it globally. I mean, there's a major change that is occurring. But again, what's coming from the federal government, these are recommendations. It's a way to put together some national guidance because state and local officials were basically putting out all these other orders with even more stringent restrictions. He's ordering the country, except for this critical infrastructure, to slow down significantly. Some people were calling for even more. Some people thought we might see a quarantine like you're seeing in some parts of Europe. This is short of that, but it's pretty unprecedented in an effort to stop this public health crisis that we're facing.
I mean, meanwhile, as you have pointed out, certain municipalities or state leadership has taken these recommendations and taken them much further, right? We have seen this in the San Francisco Bay Area, where residents are expected to, quote, shelter in place. Can you just explain what that means right now?
It means you're not even supposed to be going outside except to obtain or perform vital services. And the scope of this is pretty significant. 7 to 8 million people are being told to stay home as much as they possibly can. If they do go out, you're supposed to keep 6 feet distance from each other. Violations could be punished as a misdemeanor, but the police chief there is basically saying they're trying not to do that. They want to, have people just do this voluntarily, and that's how they're going to try to enforce this.
All right, NPR's Jason Beaubien, thank you.
You're welcome.
All of this, of course, is happening while we're in the middle of a presidential election, right? And we are starting to see concerns over the virus affect the race.
Yeah, like in Ohio, where Governor Mike DeWine has postponed today's primary election. He said yesterday that Americans, especially those over 65 and at risk, should not have to ignore health warnings in order to vote.
We should not force them to make this choice. A choice between their health and their constitutional rights and their duties as American citizens.
Governor DeWine declared a public health emergency in order to keep polls closed.
All right, we've got NPR's Pam Fessler with us. Pam, just explain what happened in Ohio.
Well, it was really astonishing. Yesterday, the governor said that it didn't make sense to go ahead with this primary when many voters are being told to stay home and away from crowds. So he proposed that they delay it until June 2nd and allow absentee voting to continue until then. But then later in the evening, a Franklin County judge disagreed, said he was reluctant to make such a change so close to the primary, especially because state officials couldn't guarantee that things were going to be any safer in June. So poll workers who had earlier been told in the day not to show up this morning were then told they should show up. But then late last night, the governor issued a statement saying it wasn't possible to hold the primary. And around 10:30 p.m., he announced that the state health director was going to declare this health emergency and shut down the polls. So There's no primary today.
So how and when are the good people of Ohio going to vote?
Well, that's a really good question. That's still up in the air. The governor said that the Secretary of State, Frank LaRose, is going to go to court to try and seek some remedy to extend voting, presumably asking the court to reschedule the in-person primary later and to continue absentee voting.
Okay. Meanwhile, there are primaries happening in three other states today, right? Illinois, Arizona, and Florida. What's happening there?
Right. So those three states are going ahead today. The officials have tried to make a lot of accommodations because of the virus. They've been actually losing hundreds, probably maybe even thousands of poll workers who are just worried about spending so much time in close contact with other people. So they've had to find backup poll workers. They had to shut down and consolidate polling locations. So today they're going to try and make sure that people get to whatever polling site they can get to, what the proper one is for them. Even in Chicago, they said they're going to actually be signing up poll workers today if people volunteer because they're that understaffed. These states have all been telling voters to vote early or absentee if they can, but you know, today really their options are very, very limited. So if they want to vote, they for the most part have to show up in person unless they're just delivering their absentee ballots.
There are just so many of those people who work in those polls, Pam. They're elderly people, right? They're the people who are the most vulnerable in this moment.
Exactly. That's exactly what's happening. It's just, you know, it's really quite a mess.
And so the 20 states that are left with primaries, any indication on how those are going to go?
Yeah, we've already seen delays. Kentucky, Georgia, and Louisiana have already announced that they're postponing their votes until either late May or June. And other states are looking at that option, including Alabama and Maryland's thinking about making their April 28th primary a vote by mail. So we're going to be seeing a lot of changes in the coming days.
NPR's Pam Fessler, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, so now we're going to look across the Atlantic to Spain.
Where on Monday, the government announced it is closing Spain's land borders following Germany's lead. Germany says it's going to impose travel restrictions on most of its borders. And the European Union is proposing a 30-day ban on unnecessary travel into the entire bloc of European countries. Now, on Saturday, all of Spain was put on quarantine. People are being ordered to stay at home for 2 weeks. But every day, at 8 o'clock in the evening, people come out of their homes and applaud. This nightly ovation is a tribute to the country's healthcare workers.
I love that. So we've got reporter Lucia Benavides with us now. Lucia, where are you and what's happening?
So I'm usually based in Barcelona, but right now I'm in a small Catalan town called Moya, which is about an hour away from the city. My boyfriend is from here and his family lives here. And lots of people did like me and fled the city to be with families in the countryside this week. Nearly everything here is closed. Cafes, restaurants, schools, libraries, stores. In Barcelona, all the public parks and museums are closed too, as they are throughout Spain. And that's because of the government mandated quarantine. And we can't leave our houses except for a few exceptions. If we have an emergency, if we need to get to a healthcare clinic, or if we need to buy food. Those of us who still have to head to work can also leave the house. And we're also allowed to walk the dog. But we can face fines of more than $1,000 for not cooperating. And there are police all over the country monitoring the streets.
Huh. So we've been talking so much about how this is exposing the vulnerabilities of healthcare systems around the world. Is that the case in Spain?
Yeah, so right now, Spain is the European country with the second highest number of cases after Italy. This morning, there were nearly 10,000 cases and more than 340 deaths. The number of cases are increasing rapidly, around 1,000 new cases a day. And so there's worry of overwhelming the healthcare system here, essentially if there not being enough medical staff or equipment for every sick patient that comes in. And in Spain, actually, there's universal healthcare. It's free of cost for everyone living here, and it's considered among the best in the world. But there are also private hospitals and physicians, though now the government has nationalized them all because of the crisis.
What about the economy? I mean, Spain was one of the countries that was hit the hardest in the 2008 financial crisis. How is it trying to protect itself in this moment financially?
Right. So political analysts are actually saying that there's tension within the Spanish government because there are those who want to prevent another economic crisis and so are pushing for measures that will protect businesses and banks first and foremost. And then there are those who want to protect the public health and are pushing for measures that will ensure people stay home and not engage in large groups. But for now, the Spanish government has left it up to companies themselves to decide whether their employees go to work. And so a lot of companies are still asking their employees to come in.
All right, Lucia Benavides reporting from the town of Moya, Spain. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that is Up First for this Tuesday, March 17th. I'm Rachel Martin.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Join us tomorrow. We will be here. And since the news does not stop, when the podcast does, follow us on Twitter at Up First for your daily roundup of the most important stories of this day.
And hopefully you know this, but it bears repeating. We appreciate that you wake up with NPR. Your NPR station makes Up First possible each morning. Support them and support us when you go to donate.npr.org/upfirst.
Change is hard, transitions can be even harder, but they're also an opportunity to explore and discover and reimagine things you thought you knew. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, the new host of NPR's TED Radio Hour, and with all this in mind, we've decided to make my entire first episode about reinvention. Subscribe or listen right now.